Today, answers matter more than ever before. That's why IBM is helping businesses manage customer questions with Watson Assistant. It's conversational AI designed to work for any industry. Let's put smart to work. Visit ibm.com/Watson Assistant.
This is DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg.
All right, before we get to the baseball, spend a minute on NFL is reopening a lot of facilities today, Chris. So that is some good news to start the noon hour with. That's exciting. Just the thought of you know, some personnel and people that work at these teams starting to go back to facilities, very good news.
No, that's good news, but I think that Mike Tannenbaum kind of poured water on the idea of teams being able to resume some of the offseason programs, whether that's OTAs or mini camps or anything like that. I think that these teams are putting their staffs in place and getting back into the building, but ultimately we're not going to see the players go back to work in those facilities until training camp rolls around.
Right, which is still a couple months away.
Yeah, yeah.
But you keep your fingers crossed that when we get to July, late July, that it does start, because we you know, obviously, without even having to say it, we need sports terribly right now. We need it back. I mean, it's such a huge, you don't realize how big sports was until you take it away. Now you're like, oh my God, it's such a huge part of your life.
Yeah, I think that sports will be a huge part of our culture, our society as we move forward. I mean, the absence of it just drives home the point of how big it is and how much a part of our day-to-day lives sports is. So I think that when it comes back, I think sports is going to be back in a big way.
I like what the NFL has done, and I understand. I mean, they have the luxury of time, but I mean, we're sitting here talking about, you know, finances with Major League Baseball. I mean, we'll see what happens with the NBA. Are they going to try to finish the season? They go straight to playoffs. I mean, the NHL kind of has a pretty good idea of what they want to do, but you still have, you know, a lot of health concerns and everything else. But I mean, of the major sports, I mean, don't you guys agree? I mean, biggest health concerns would have to be the NFL.
Yes,
has to be
by far.
It has to be. But what I like is that they just, I mean, they keep going about their business, doing things the right way, have kept, you know, for the most part, you know, all those conversations behind closed doors. I mean, the misstep of the ridiculous, I mean, amendments to the Rooney Rule where they're going to start incentivizing and everything else. I'm glad they tabled that.
Mm-hmm.
But they, I mean, they came to some conclusion in that. But, I mean, that's, we haven't heard about a lot of them, but I can only imagine those conversations that are going on behind closed doors as far as, you know, all the gymnastics trying to figure out how to keep these players safe in the NFL.
You're right, but I think you're going to get the cooperation of the NFLPA because everybody realizes that the players can't afford to sit out an entire season and not get any paychecks. So of all the major team sports in this country, I think the body of players that is going to be most willing and ready to go would be the guys that play football. And I think we all agree that's probably the athletes that are at the most risk in terms of being able to contract this virus. So it's an interesting dynamic as we inch closer to the point where we're actually going to have to see players on the field. But I think the one thing that's encouraging for fans is the fact that the NFL hasn't missed any major events in the calendar up to this point.
Right.
I mean,
not
the fact that you were able to have free agency, you were able to conduct a draft, I think a lot of people feel relatively confident that they will see the NFL this fall. Now, we don't know what that's going to look like. We don't know when that's going to happen. But I think that everybody feels good about the NFL in some shape or form being available in playing games this coming fall.
And plus, they have the benefit. I mean, they have the huge benefit of having all that. I mean, all that TV revenue coming in still.
Yeah.
And not being so reliant on the gate.
Right. Right.
Speaking of football, so, I mean, have you read up on this whole DeAndre Baker situation?
Yeah.
It's more bizarre by the day, doesn't it?
Well, he says what, he was playing Madden now at the time?
Yeah, he was playing Madden. Out of the corner of his eye, he saw a table get flipped over. And not only did he not drive the getaway car, he was actually a passenger because he had someone as his designated driver. It's just craziness.
It's hard to believe him.
How do you get it that wrong? How do you come out with 8 different charges and then all of a sudden now, we're how many days into this thing where his lawyer is saying that he's going to be, the entire thing's going to be dropped? It's crazy to me.
But I wouldn't be surprised by that.
Yeah, but how do you get it that, like, how do you go into the situation and you interview all these people? You'd have to have some semblance of, like, solid evidence to come up with these charges, wouldn't you?
Of course,
you imagine?
100%. But you couldn't see that all these guys, you know, go to the police. He did it. They all are 100% convinced of that. And then when his lawyer speaks to them and they figure out a way to maybe make it go away, that the guys aren't willing to take deals and say, yeah, maybe it wasn't him. Maybe I didn't see him. Maybe it was someone else.
Yeah, the more you hear, the more it feels like that was what, right? That's what's going on here. Yeah.
Yeah. And that could be the case. But either way, you got to question why DeAndre Baker will put himself in a situation around individuals like that.
Because he doesn't get it.
And that's the part of it where the Giants probably got enough information to make the decision that they don't want him to be around the virtual offseason program while he's going through this process.
Right. Ed Oliver, they said, yeah, you know, come on back. DeAndre Baker, yeah, you deal with your legal issues and then we'll figure it out later.
Well, that's because Ed Oliver had a good rookie season. DeAndre Baker didn't. Yeah. And he wasn't a great teammate.
No.
This scares the hell out of me, though.
Red flags coming in. Didn't have a good season, and now this.
But, I mean, listen, we all know, I mean, sometimes you get caught up because especially, I mean, you're a young kid and you're from a certain area. You're surrounded by, you know, people that you know. They're friends of yours. You know, maybe some of your friends aren't great people or they hang around with the wrong crowds. But, I mean, didn't this scare the hell out of you? Like, if this thing, I mean, if this whole thing ends up being dropped, something like this would scare the hell out of me.
Of course.
Like, you go to a place where you feel comfortable enough to bring your own Madden and you're playing video games and everything else, and all of a sudden, before you know it, you wake up and you're wanted on 8 different counts, 4 for armed robbery, and it was made up because they're trying to scam you out of money.
But, I mean, can you really believe that side of it, though?
Of course you can.
I don't know what to believe at this point.
Of course you
it's
can,
hard
though,
to
Dave.
Believe
I mean,
that.
There have been elaborate schemes to extort money from players. Not just NFL players, but like athletes in general. I mean, professional athletes, you're told as soon as you come into the league that you are a target. And people will try to take advantage of you. People will try to manipulate you. And sometimes it's people close to you. And a lot of, and sometimes it's people that you don't know. But you got to be careful about the environments that you put yourself in. And that's why a lot of guys have people in their circles that are people that they go back with. But sometimes those individuals could be the same folks that puts you in situations like DeAndre Baker was in last week.
I don't know. I don't even know that we'll ever know the truth, to be honest. He might be, you know, everything might be dropped from him, and we might never know the truth of what actually happened.
Well, that's what I mean. That's the more you read, it feels like, and again, this is just his attorney, his side of it. I mean, that's what he's saying, is that these charges are going to be dropped. Because people, I mean, he's got witnesses recanting their stories. He's hoping to have video of DeAndre Baker leaving in his car 2 hours before the cops are called. It's crazy stuff, man.
Yeah, but to be charged the way that DeAndre Baker was charged, I mean, 4 charges of aggravated assault and 4 counts of armed robbery.
Right, and $200,000 worth of bail.
Like, that's extensive. If you're the Miramar Police Department, you got to have some strong evidence to go out there and charge him the way that they did. But it doesn't seem like, well, at least from the lawyer's standpoint, that's not the case. So it's interesting.
Bizarre story.
But either way, I mean, this is not the headline that you want if you're the New York Giants and if you're Dave Gettleman. Even if this all goes away, this is still something that people are going to attach to DeAndre Baker and to the GM.
Yes. Even if he starts week 1 for the Giants, this doesn't go away.
No. No. I mean, that's what people would be talking about. The color guy in the booth for the play-by-play would talk about it if DeAndre Baker makes a play. Oh, DeAndre Baker had an interesting offseason. You know how it goes, Dave.
Of course.
It just puts more pressure on him, and it puts more pressure on Dave Gettleman.
Yep. And both have a lot to begin with. If this story never happened, Gettleman and Baker have a lot of pressure on themselves.
Yeah, but it did happen.
I know. It did happen, though.
I know.
We don't know what happened, yeah.
We really have no idea. Did you see this Tom Glavine article from the Atlanta Journal-Constitution?
I did see it, yeah.
Well, let me read a couple points. Quotes. He says, if it were to come down to an economic issue, and that's the reason baseball didn't come back, you're looking at a situation similar to the strike of 94-95 as far as fans are concerned, even if players were 100% justified in what they were complaining about, they are still going to look bad.
Which is exactly why the owners leaked the proposal with the 50-50 mm-hmm. revenue split.
Right. And knowing that the players would come back with a financial reaction.
Yeah, because that's what we do. And that's why the owners, for the most part, usually win. And as strong as the baseball union has been, it's not as strong as it was in last CBA negotiation. The owners beat them up.
Are you anticipating more of the same when they start on the new CBA, Rick, next year?
It depends on what happens with this whole thing. I mean, and we've kind of talked about this a couple different times, you know, what you're trying to get. I mean, both sides fighting for leverage.
Mm-hmm.
And at some point, you got to realize, like, we need to play baseball, so we'll have to make – we'll have to go back to the table. I mean, we're going to have to give some money back. But, you know, if we give money back now, you know, how can we use that as leverage to get what, you know, more things that we want in the next collective bargaining agreement? There's going to have to be give and take on both sides.
Which makes sense.
Yeah.
Give back a little bit now and then get more later.
And I'm on board with that, but I guess I'm looking at it from a player's perspective. If the owners need us to give more as players, then I'm going to need some evidence. I just can't take your word for it. You need to be transparent in this process. And I get that you typically wouldn't want to do that, knowing what's at stake, but this is an unprecedented situation. So if we came to what we thought was an agreement a couple of months ago, and now you're saying you need us to give more and that the prorated salaries aren't going to work for you, well, at least be transparent with me, be straight up, be honest about everything, about all the money that's coming in and all the costs that you have to assume. I think under those circumstances, it makes it easier for me to agree to a pay cut given the kind of risk that I'm going to have to take.
I mean, the players are taking, especially you read the 67-page document. I mean, they're just the most of this plan rests squarely on the players.
All
they're taking
of it.
A ton of risk, man.
All of it.
I'd need to know, too, the whole state thing. I would need to know what the financial ramifications of us playing in our own stadiums are.
But that's what I'm saying, Rick. What the owners are doing right now is not constructive in terms of being able to find a path forward where we can get back to baseball. Like, I guess the owners are trying to paint the players into a corner, and I think that's counterproductive. I think under the present circumstances, you got to be straight up about everything that's going on.
Good luck with that.
But that's my whole point, though, man. Like, as a player, how do you feel confident that this is a legitimate concern for the owners if they're not willing to share with you all of their accounting, knowing the kind of risk that you're going to have to take?
You can't. I mean,
I think that's why we're at this impasse.
And that's always been the disconnect. I mean, we're sitting here, we talked about it yesterday, going back and forth about this new Rooney rule. And the more I thought about it, the more outraged I got. Because, I mean, we're sitting here looking for ways to fix the problem. I don't know if you can ever fix the problem. I mean, you're talking about owners voting on a plan to incentivize them to do what just so clearly, like, so slap you in the face obvious is the right thing to do. The person who is best fit to do the job should be hired to do the job, regardless of skin color or race or anything else. But we need to be incentivized to do it. I mean, really? I mean, it's like the quote we like, Chris. I mean, but I take care of my kids. What do you want, a cookie? You're their parent. You're supposed to take care of your kids. I mean, the expectation is you're supposed to hire who is best equipped to do it.
But it doesn't happen.
And you know the hypocrisy of that, Rick, when we start talking about the Rooney rules and the proposal that they had on the table. The NFL wants to be on the forefront of all the social justice issues in our society. They want to be on the forefront and advocating for people that are marginalized, for issues that don't get enough discussion. And yet, when it comes to diversity at the highest levels of these organizations, they're resistant to hiring candidates of color. It's amazing to me.
Which is crazy to me. It's crazy. I mean, you have your entire workforce, the people you're paying millions and millions of dollars to, are, what, 75%?
Mm-hmm.
75%. And you don't think it's in your best interest to hire, first of all, you have to have the qualifications. That goes without saying.
But there are enough qualified assistant coaches that are black in the National Football League to have more than three black head coaches.
Of course there are.
There are.
Of course there
Everybody's
are.
Everybody's talking about, well, minority entry-level positions and being able to incentivize people to have more black assistant coaches come through the doors. Having black assistant coaches in the NFL is not the problem. The problem is having the opportunities for advancement at the same rate as their white counterparts, and that does not happen. And the reason that it doesn't happen is because of cronyism, because of networking, because you don't have the same relationships that white assistant coaches have with NFL owners or NFL general managers. That's what it comes down to.
Well, you saw Lewis Riddick, right? He came out and said he thought that his interview with the Giants could not have gone better. It was as good as it could have gone, and they went with a guy that they've known forever.
But that's my point, though. But that's my point, though, Dave. They felt comfortable with him because they had a pre-existing relationship. When you start having this conversation about opportunities for career advancement, do you think the first time that you want to make an impression on the person you're asking for a job is at the interview? No. You're looking for opportunities to get to know people that can help you advance your career before it comes to the point when you're ready to make that jump.
Right.
And minority candidates don't have those opportunities.
Right. I mean, they've known Gettleman forever. He was within the organization. So it makes sense that he's going to have a huge leg up on anyone.
But that's why I was proposing, Dave, that you have some kind of symposium or conference where you bring the owners, the team presidents, the GMs, the head coaches into proximity with all the assistant coaches of color around the league. You get together and you discuss organizational philosophy. You discuss leadership and what that looks like. You can discuss even X's and O's, all the while serving the purpose of being able to network and create better relationships between the owners who are eventually going to be responsible for hiring the coaches. To me, that makes the most sense. That way you put accountability on the owners to help solve the problem. Because
yeah,
Chris, they are the problem.
But exactly right. They are the problem. And the fact that, I mean, what boggles my mind, right, is that when something like this is proposed, okay, and it's brought to ownership, they have to vote on it. The mere fact that they even considered on voting on this as opposed to being like, really? Like, you're gonna put something on my desk that says I need to be incentivized to do the right, like, that's, there's a bigger problem here, man.
Rick, the problem is the prejudices and the biases, the preconceived notions that owners and team presidents have on who should be leading their teams. If you're hiring a head coach, you're hiring a general manager, that individual is going to be one of the faces of your franchise. And you have to be comfortable as an owner with that person that you hire. Are you going to be comfortable with somebody that you have a pre-existing relationship with? Or are you going to be comfortable hiring an assistant coach of color because you feel like the NFL needs more diversity?
Well, I'm not arguing that it's all about relationships. I get that. It's just, the fact that you don't trust yourself as owners to do the right thing, you feel like you need to be incentivized to actually force yourself to do it. I mean, it's ridiculous. If I was one of the owners, I would be offended by the proposal.
Well, here's the thing. The whole idea of being forced to do it bothers me, man.
That's what I mean.
Diversity is a good thing. Diversity improves things. When you have a diversity of people, you have a diversity of ideas. And when you have more good ideas, guess what? You're going to come to better solutions. And ultimately, what's in the best interest of your franchises and what's in the best interest of the league as a whole. So this notion of, we got to do the right thing here. No, it's doing the right thing by giving the candidates an opportunity, but it's also doing right by your business because it's ultimately going to make it better.
But it doesn't feel like usually when you have to incentivize someone to do something, it's because what they're doing currently, they don't realize is wrong. I'm incentivizing you not to go to the bathroom in your pants by giving you an M&M every time you use the toilet because you don't know that peeing in your pants is wrong. You know that not giving every person the appropriate opportunity to get a job when they're qualified is the wrong thing.
Maybe they just don't care then.
Well, obviously.
They probably don't care, Dave.
So?
I mean, think about it. The NFL is king in this country. In terms of successful sports leagues, who does it better than the NFL in America?
Nobody.
So if everything is all good and we're making money hand over fist, then why would we change? And to that, I would say you would change because even though things are good, it's not like things can't improve.
Right, and you can change and know that you won't have any drop-off. You know, I could even see if an owner said, look, if I hire a minority GM, there's a chance that whatever the case may be, that's not going to happen. The money's still going to pour in like it always does. And that's what they want, bottom line.
Bottom line, Dave, but I think it's also an opportunity to do the right thing, to set the right example in terms of your business model to other corporations, which the NFL is consumed by. But, I mean, it also represents an opportunity to improve your individual franchises. Because I think we've seen when you have minorities, whether they're general managers or head coaches, they're more than capable of having success at the highest level.
Yeah, but it's like, but Chris, it's like, I don't really want to do this, but you know what? Because I get a better draft pick, you know what? I'm going to do it.
Well, I guess what I'm saying, Rick, is based on the evidence that we have, it's not like you're accepting someone that would be inferior to their white counterparts around the league. We've seen that head coaches that are black, general managers that are black can have success. Tony Dungy won a Super Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
Is anybody better at building a team than Ozzie Newsome? So, I mean, it's not like we don't have examples of men of color being at the top of organizations and doing it the right way and building sustainability for these franchises. That's the part of it I don't get. I don't understand why the NFL owners as a whole are resistant to moving more in this direction. I don't understand why they need to be incentivized when clearly we've seen when you have equal opportunities for black candidates in football that those individuals are able to deliver.
It's never going to make sense. We could discuss it for the next four hours.
We could discuss it, Dave, but I think at the heart of the matter is bringing the owners and the assistant coaches of color together. I think that's the most important thing. You got to be able to forge some of those relationships where these candidates are top of mind when you have vacancies in the head coaching position or in the general manager position. We don't have enough of that right now.
Yep. And the whole hiring process needs to be revamped too, by the way. Like, you shouldn't be able to, the coaching cycle shouldn't start till after the Super Bowl. As far as I'm concerned.
Well, it's preposterous. You get punished for your team succeeding.
Yeah, there should be no rush. I mean, it shouldn't have teams that get to rush out and then you just have, I'm just going to hire, you know, I'm going to, if you're the Cowboys and you're just going to, you know, I'll interview Marvin Lewis for the, you're not going to give Marvin Lewis, just stop, man. I mean, it's so fugazi.
It's embarrassing.
Rick, I do think the one good thing that came out of yesterday is that they're not going to allow teams to block assistants interviewing for coordinator positions.
Agreed.
Because I think, again, we're talking about being able to take steps toward being a head coach. I think this is going to open the door for a lot of black coaches and minority candidates to be able to take that next step in their career. To be more than just a defensive line coach, to be more than just a defensive backs coach. You can elevate to the coordinator level. And then from there, you know, if that unit performs well, they're going to be a short list of candidates doing the rounds for the job interviews.
Yeah, and you need more,
more mobility.
You need more mobility. But I think you also need more, coaches of color that are more involved with the offensive side of the ball, that are quarterback coaches, you know, because we're seeing that trend now where your offensive coordinators, quarterback whisperers end up getting the coaching jobs. You need more of a pipeline in that direction too.
Did you see what Lewis Riddick said about that?
No, I didn't see what he said.
Well Lewis said that is the trendy thing, the in vogue thing to do, but he was just throwing the mandate out there to the NFL clubs to not fall in line with what everybody else is doing. And just look for good coaches because Tony Dungy was on the defensive side of the ball. Because you had Belichick and Parcells and all of these other, you have a lot of great defensive coaches that ended up being really good head coaches. So the goal would be to find somebody that can teach the game in a way that leads to developing your players and getting them to play at the highest level, ultimately, which ends up winning and ends up making the franchise worth a lot of money. I guess my whole point and his whole point was, it shouldn't be about necessarily a push to have more coaches on the offensive side of the ball that are of color, but it should be about teams doing more exhaustive searches to find qualified people.
I couldn't agree with him more.
Yeah, makes perfect sense. All right, Rick.
But Dave, you know what it is? And I hate this. I mean, how many times have you heard this? Like, well, we can't hire you because you don't have experience. Well, how do you get experience? Exactly right.
Yep.
How can I prove that I deserve to have the job if you don't give me the opportunity to have the job?
Of course.
Ridiculous.
It's ridiculous. And of course, there's everyday actions to help prevent the spread of respiratory diseases. Wash your hands. Avoid close contact with people who are sick. Avoid touching your eyes, nose, and mouth. Stay home when you're sick. Cover your cough or sneeze. Clean and disinfect frequently touched objects. For more information, visit cdc.gov/COVID-19. This message brought to you by the National Association of Broadcasters and 98.7 ESPN New York. All right, Rick, your time to shine. Twice in one segment. We start with Cuddle, Marry, Trash. Have at it.
All right, here we go, fellas. We're going to go NFC West. Let's keep this thing tight, right? Let's keep it tight. Okay. I want to get through as many of these as possible. We'll start here. You ready for this?
We're ready.
Give you a layup. I'm going to give you a layup. The San Francisco 49ers are the best team in the NFC.
In the NFC?
In the NFC.
I mean, I don't think that's a layup. I'll still marry that, but I think there's some other really good teams in this conference. I think the Saints are excellent. I think Tampa's good. I think two teams in the NFC East are good. So I'll marry it, but I don't think that that's the layup that you think it is. But I still love San Francisco, and I think that they're an excellent team who added good weapons this offseason. So I'll marry it, but I don't think it's the layup like you say it is.
Yeah, because it's not a layup, Dave. I'm going to cuddle right up to it. I still like the San Francisco 49ers. I like the direction that they're going in. John Lynch and Kyle Shanahan have a real marriage. It feels like there's synergy in terms of them being able to work together and have the same vision. But again, there are a lot of really good teams in the NFC. I think the Minnesota Vikings are good, the Dallas Cowboys, Philadelphia Eagles, Saints, Bucks. So because of that, I'm going to cuddle up to it, not marry it.
All right, here we go. Second one. The Los Angeles Rams will finish last in the NFC West.
I'm ready if you'd like me to take it.
Go ahead, Dave.
I'm going to trash it.
Garbage. Look at this garbage.
I mean, they were right there last season. They're still a pretty good football team. I still like their coach a lot. I don't think the quarterback is awful. Gurley wasn't good last year. I don't think it's a huge loss. They still have the best defensive player in football. I'm not going to agree with that. Until Arizona gets out of the basement, and I'm not saying they won't be a better team, but until they prove to me that they can get out of the basement, I don't look at the Rams as the worst team in the NFC West.
Dave, I'm going to cuddle that one as well. And you know what? You said Jared Goff is not awful. He's not awful, but he is the worst quarterback in the division. And you're talking about a team that doesn't have a lot of flexibility financially or with draft capital to improve the overall talent level. I don't think they've offset the losses that they've had the last couple of off seasons. So for that reason, I think the Rams take a step back. So yeah, I'm going to cuddle up to that.
Someone, I think it'll be close.
You're in the cuddling mood.
Yeah, I'm a cuddly guy today.
Big cuddly guy on a hump day. Here we go. Picking up on where Canty left off. I'm going to give you this one. Kyler Murray is the second best quarterback in the NFC West.
Ooh. You want to take it, Chris, or you want me to go?
I'm going to give you honors, Dave. Go ahead.
You got to at least cuddle that. Come on.
Don't tell me what I have to do.
Nuzzle in there.
I was going to cuddle it. Now I feel like you pushing me there. I almost want to trash it, but I'll still cuddle it. I'm not going to definitely say he's the second best. But see, here's the thing. He could go anywhere from 2 to 4 as far as I'm concerned.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and yes, I'll say it. I think there's a chance that Jared Goff could still be better than Kyler Murray, and I absolutely think Jimmy Garoppolo can be better. So I will cuddle it. But this is not a we're in for the long term here. We're going to cuddle it.
Does someone need a hug?
I might have to get up and go to the bathroom in a couple minutes.
Yeah, Dave, I'm going to trash this one. I mean, I am. And listen, I'm not high on Jared Goff, but he did have his team in the Super Bowl a couple of years ago. All three of the quarterbacks have played in a Super Bowl. Kyler Murray, you know, he did do well in his rookie season, but you're still talking about a team that had double-digit losses. I think it's a situation where he can take that jump, but I'm not going to sit out here today in May and say definitively he's the second best quarterback in the division. So trashing it.
All right, here we go. I know a quarterback you do like. How about this one? Russell Wilson will finally get the respect he deserves and win his first MVP.
I think it's out there for him. I think it's out there for him. I'm a cuddle, not marry it, just because you do have Pat Mahomes, who is capable of throwing a lot of touchdowns. We saw what Lamar Jackson did in winning the MVP last year. But I just got this sneaky feeling that Russell Wilson is poised for a huge season. I really like the Seahawks more than most. So I'm going to cuddle that one.
Does someone need a hug?
No, that would be the wrong answer. I don't believe he's ever gotten a vote for the MVP award.
Which is ridiculous.
I'm going to trash that.
Firmly. Look at this garbage!
And not anything that he has done or has not done or will not do. I think that there's some kind of a bizarre bias against Russell Wilson winning an MVP. And there are very talented quarterbacks around the league. I mean, you look at Lamar Jackson and Patrick Mahomes. So it's not any fault of his own, but I can't cuddle nor marry that. I'll trash that one.
Okay. Here we go. DeAndre Hopkins, Arizona Cardinal. DeAndre Hopkins will lead the NFL in receptions and receiving yards this season.
No.
There's a guy in New Orleans that's a machine.
Yeah, no, we can do this together, Chris. I mean, I'll take the one bag and I'll throw it into your bag. We can tie it up and then we can throw it into a third bag and really make sure that the stench of that garbage doesn't smell
garbage
for anyone.
Look at this garbage!
You can open up the trash can. I'll throw it in. You can slam it down because, no, Michael Thomas all over.
Yeah, we're in agreement on that one.
I don't think it's disrespectful. No,
I take all this time
to
come up with these questions and their hot takes, and you're just laughing about them. Give me better questions. Give me a better question about the NFC West.
Well, you know what? I'm not spending time preparing it
because you don't have any better ones.
You want me to play host tomorrow? You want me to be the Peter Tomarkin of Cuddle Mary Trash?
God forbid! God forbid you do any extra work. No, I don't want to impose on you any extra work.
Oh, I'll be the host.
I'll do the extra work because you don't think my questions are good enough when in actuality
I didn't like that question.
He's one of the best wide receivers in the National Football League. You didn't like that question.
I didn't like it.
Come up with something better then.
Okay.
All right, here we go. Here's the last question for this NFC West edition.
Hopefully
and final
like
edition because there won't be another game. Tomorrow it's over. This is done. It's a wrap. After seeing what you saw at the draft, Cliff Kingsbury clearly has a Christian Grey, 50 Shades of Grey style playroom in his mansion.
Yeah, I'll marry that.
You're going to marry it?
Oh, yeah.
No, without a doubt?
I feel confident, yes. I feel very confident.
If it was socially acceptable, I would marry them.
I mean, first of all, he's got the look. Second of all, the home has the look. Oh, I will marry that every day. Absolutely. You didn't get that feeling watching the draft? Guy's got a fire going on in 93 degree weather.
Oh man. I'm gonna trash that one, Rico.
Trash.
I'm gonna trash.
Can't even cuddle,
man. I mean, listen.
He definitely has a room.
You can be a player and not be like Christian Grey. I'm just saying.
Well, it doesn't have to be like, doesn't have to be leather and whips and stuff. There's a swing. You know there's a swing.
There's a swing room.
I'm uncomfortable going there, so for that reason, I'm going to trash it.
Yeah, he's breaking down some kind of film. All right, there you go. That is a NFC West edition of Cuddle, Marry, Trash.
All right, you take a deep breath, switch pages, and get ready for this.
Do you need to feel better about your life?
Just when I think you couldn't possibly be any dumber, you go and do something like this.
And totally redeem yourself!
Let's take a look at Rick's Snob Servation.
Welcome back, dum-dum.
All right, here we go, fellas. Did this happen in Florida? You have a Go Topless Jeep weekend. Go Topless Jeep weekend that actually, believe it or not, who would have imagined a wild party with no topless people in Jeeps? It resulted in 189 arrests and Two people were shot. Yes, sir. Two men getting shot after a fight and 189 people being arrested. Here's some quotes from partygoers. You have, one girl saying that we've been in quarantine and, like, I need to get out and party. And then she also
she has to do a topless, of course.
Yeah, this was on News 12. And then she also offered some warning, some sage advice to the viewers. Make sure you wash your hands for 20 seconds. All while there's a bunch of people with no masks, no gloves, topless in bikinis, driving around in Jeeps. Did that happen in Florida?
So where are our options? That's not a California. Could be Florida.
It's not California. I can promise you that.
No, it's not. I'm just trying to brainstorm with Chris. It's not California.
No.
Could be Florida. Could be Louisiana.
Yeah, this feels like it's Gulf South, Dave. Like West Coast of Florida going up to the Panhandle all the way to Louisiana. It seems like it's somewhere in there.
You know what? If you think that, then I'm going to go with my old staple. Everywhere is Florida. This is not Florida. Final answer.
Christopher, what do you think?
I'm going to roll with Dave Rothenberg just because he's been on a hot streak, and every time I go the opposite way, I end up being wrong.
What about you, Santi? You're big into Jeeps and being topless. What do you think?
Actually, I am. Unfortunately, because of that, I already know the answer, so
wait
I'm abstaining.
Is it the Jeep part or the top? Which one is it?
It's a combo.
Well, figure it out.
That was not Florida, fellas. That was Texas. That was Texas.
There you go, Dave.
I knew it sounded Texas-y.
Yeah, here we go, Dave. You love these ones. I have a gender reveal gone wrong.
Oh.
Did this happen in Florida? So happy couple decides they want to, this actually has video if you want to look the video up, decides that the best way to reveal the sex of the baby is to pop a balloon that is going to be filled with the color, either pink or blue. Little did the person filming this realize that because they were using actual darts, that once the dart went through the balloon, they wanted to make it as cool as humanly possible. So they decided that the darts were a great idea. In order to film this properly, she stood in a certain spot, not realizing that what could happen to the dart once it goes through the balloon? Does it just hit the balloon and fall? No, it goes through the balloon and then ends up falling directly into your ankle and stabbing you in the ankle. Yeah, that's what happened.
Yeah, that's all bad.
Yeah, that's all bad.
So
all
bad. How bad did it get for her?
911 was called, and then they said they wouldn't take the dart out, so she had to go to the hospital to get the dart taken out. The dart is lodged in her ankle.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, in her ankle. It's had over 4.5 million views.
I mean, it must have been, lodged in there.
That's what I'm saying. To need to go to the hospital to get it out?
Yeah.
Who threw
it? I understand getting the wound fixed, but, to just actually get it out of the ankle, had to go to the hospital.
Tell through that dart.
Oh man, what do you think of the where's this dart gonna end up? What it's gonna go through the balloon, obviously. And then you probably don't want to be standing anywhere near where the dart could end up.
But how hard was it thrown? Because honestly, if I get hit where the dart goes into my ankle, I'm pulling it right out.
That's what I'm saying.
Whether I'm told to or not, there's no way I'm just gonna sit there with that thing sitting in my ankle.
No, she freaked out, though. She's not a needle person, apparently. She started to panic. She's worrying about nerve damage. She could bleed out.
Bleed out?
So that's what she thought. So she kept the guard in, figuring that the fire department would come take it out. And they said, nope, you got to go to the ER to get that taken out.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
All right. Boy, I have no idea. Chris, what are you thinking?
I'm thinking that I don't think that's Florida.
Ooh.
You have any,
come on, David. Let's keep this streak alive.
Why?
Let's keep this streak alive. Come on.
I just don't think it's Florida, Dave.
I got that feeling.
It's something about it. Doesn't feel like Florida.
I got this feeling.
You know why you're right? Because she would have ripped it out and she would have bled to death. I'm going to agree. I'm going to say that's not Florida as well.
She would have got back to playing the actual dart game. What do you think, Santi?
It does feel like one of those it could happen anywhere type stories, so I'll say not Florida.
That was Houston, fellas.
Texas.
Hey, two Texas stories.
Yeah, because they're the worst.
All right. Does this
Texas
how about
is
this?
The worst?
The worst.
Texas is even worse than Florida.
It seems
no.
It.
No. Stop. Santi, how much time we got left here before we got to go to break?
You have like a minute.
This is right up Canty's alley. He's going to love this because Canty just loves spending it. I'm surprised he hasn't made a $5,000 bet over the last couple of weeks. So how about this?
That he hasn't.
So how about this? So there is a Hamptons hotel. So obviously, people aren't really doing much, traveling. So this is a 13-room resort and spa in the Hamptons has announced that it is offering you can buy out the entire property for a low, low price, ready for this, of $400,000 a month or $1.25 million for the summer.
Wow.
That's the low, low price?
Low, low price.
Okay.
Low, low price.
Exactly. How many customers do they have right now?
I would say probably close to zero.
Oh, okay.
I would say. All right. Yeah, zero. Yeah.
It's a beautiful property. Just expendable money now.
Beautiful property. Well, you see, I guess there's a big uptick in real estate sales in Connecticut currently.
Is that right?
Out of the city. Oh, yeah.
Okay.
And here's the
last
one.
Between that and the Carnival Cruise Lines, how much disposable income is out there?
You got to go on the cruise.
That's insane. You see how much money's being bet now? Betting is going to – I will say this. Can I just make a bold statement before we go to break? If for some reason, when we're through this pandemic, New York State does not approve legalized sports betting – I will lose my mind. Completely lose my mind.
Yeah, with this governor, I think that's hard to envision, though.
Yeah, but if you want to stimulate the economy, nothing does that like gambling.
Yeah, it's true. Look at what it's done for Jersey.
Be ridiculous.
Billions
of
dollars.
Ridiculous. If you didn't do that.
Rick Shams, can you say his last name? I'm incapable of it.
No, I just Canty. I'm telling you, that's one of Canty's hidden talents.
Chris, can you say his last name?
Whose last name, Dave?
Shams.
I have no idea, Dave.
Oh, I think you just said Canty could do it.
Well, if anyone could do it, I can't do it. If anyone could pronounce a very difficult last name, that's Canty's the best at that.
All right, well,
of the three of us, he's the best.
That's how difficult this one is. Even Chris can't do it. He has the report. NBA has Orlando Disney World as a clear front runner for return to play site for resuming this 2019-2020 season. Sources tell Shams and Sam Amick, Orlando has gained significant seriousness among other cities such as Las Vegas. So I guess the NBA would be doing what we would consider a smart thing, locking down in one spot and having all the games take place there.
Makes perfect sense. Speaking of Florida, did you see Schefter's tweet and NFL jersey sales?
Brady?
No, 9 of the 10 are either Tua, Brady, or Gronk.
Wow.
With Burrow sprinkled in at 8. Tua's got number 1 and 2. Tua's Dolphins
what do you mean,
Aqua
got number 1
is
and 2. One.
Tua's Aqua jersey is 1, and Tua's white jersey is 2.
Oh, my God.
And then it goes Brady, 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 Gronk, Burrow, Gronk, Brady.
Wow.
Crazy.
That is crazy.
That is ridiculous. How about that from Tua, though? The top two selling jerseys right now?
He's got juice, man. I mean, Tua's got juice.
The first time people saw him on the national landscape, he won a national championship game, Dave.
There's a dime, too, he threw.
That was. Wasn't that like a 2nd and 20 also, that play? I think it was a sack on left. Touchdown.
Sick.
Yeah, great throw. Good
job. DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg. Weekdays at 10 on 98.7 ESPN.